welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me as we've been ministering on the subject of hope. The title of the message is God's Antidote for Discouragement. And we as God's people should have joy in hope. That is a promise. If we will do all that we can to inspire and encourage and uplift ourselves by the Word of God and prayer, relationship with Jesus, we will, if we will pursue that, we will have joy as we pursue that. But also, it's a consequence. It is the result of, if you are in hope, joy will come. We will have joy if we're hopeful. Do you see? I mean, it's a little, think about that a bit, but it's a promise as well as a consequence. Proverbs 10 and 28 says, "The hope of the righteous shall be gladness." There you go. It's a promise. "But the expectation of the wicked shall perish." The Amplified translation of that proverb says, "The hope of the righteous man," those in right standing with God, "shall be gladness. But the expectation of the wicked," those who are out of harmony with God, "shall come to nothing." And then Romans 12 and 12 says, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit." It's talking about the characteristics of a saint of God, "serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope." You see, it's our hope that can give us joy, because we know God is a faithful God. He's a true God. He's not a liar. He's not a man that he should lie. And the things he has promised, he will do. To continue with that scripture, "rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer." In other words, immediately pray about everything. That's what God wants. He wants communication with us. And so as we're able to do that, we will see that there is a new sense of freshness, of strength, of power. Praise God. Now, let's look at Proverbs 13, verse 12. That scripture says, "Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life." That's the King James. To defer means to put off or to delay or to postpone. And the NIV translated, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life." The Amplified says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire is fulfilled, it is a tree of life." Remember that hope includes a desire for the things that we want and desire and wish for, and also an expectation that it will come to pass. That's the true definition of hope. It's not just wishing after something or wanting something. It's an expectation that it will come. If the desire is present but not the expectation, it's not true hope. And beloved, the work of the enemy is to destroy your deepest, your fondest hopes, to cause you to despair of seeing your deepest desires for yourself and your loved ones realized. Beloved, we have to understand we are indeed in a battle. And so I'd like to share some more scriptures, and this is referencing, as we talked, we're focusing on that scripture today, that when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. The tree of life, there's references throughout the Word of God, but Genesis 2:9 says, "And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also." Now, this is speaking of the Garden of Eden. "In the midst of the garden and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." That was the one tree that they were not to eat. Verse 16 and 17 says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Genesis 3:22. Of course, we know what happened. The devil tempted them, they ate, and in verse 22 of Genesis 3, the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become as one of us." Isn't that sad? That's what the devil wants to know good and evil. He didn't want us to know evil, but he knew what would happen, and he already had provision made in his divine will. But he says, "And now, lest he put forth his hand," he's speaking to Adam and Eve, "and take also of the tree of life, and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way, to prevent anyone from approaching the tree of life." And cherubims are ministering spirits, manifesting God's invisible presence and symbolizing his action. So driving Adam and Eve from the garden was both a punishment, of course, as well as an act of mercy, lest they should eat of the tree of life and live forever in a state of death and alienation. Now, as we go to the end of the book, we were reading Genesis, let's read a few verses from Revelation. Revelation 2:7 says, "To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." And Revelation 22:2 says, "In the midst of the streets of it," it's talking about the New Jerusalem, "and either side of the river was there a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." Praise God. So as we look at what this scripture has been saying in the 12th verse of Proverbs 13, "Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it's a tree of life." Remember, if desire is present, but not the expectation, it's not true hope. And as we know, the enemy wants to destroy hope. He wants us just to give up and faint and believe that we're not going to see the answers to our prayers. The tree of life is represented in Scripture as being a source of life, imputing divine wisdom. And wisdom, of course, is a source of life to those who attain her. And the realization of hope is a tree of life. Listen to these scriptures. Hope is the work of the Holy Spirit. We can agree on that. Romans 15:13 says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit." Galatians 5:5 says, "For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." Praise God. You know, I feel I just would like to stop here because I want to pray for those of you who are discouraged. You've been hearing the word, and faith comes by hearing and by the word of God. And so for those of you who are discouraged, who've just felt and you're tired, you've pressed on, and the battles have been so many, and the devil just wants you to kind of throw up your hands and give up. Well, that's not God's plan or his desire or his purpose for you. We know that God is a faithful God. He hears and answers prayer, but he does it in a way that is going to be the best way possible for you. He moves out of love. And the thing is, since we're not omnipotent, we're not omniscient, we don't understand. We have a very short view of what's going on in our lives, but God does. And in his love and his mercy, he moves powerfully just at the right time, even though sometimes we can get very discouraged and impatient waiting for the victory, waiting for the answer. So let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we come to you, and those who are discouraged, Lord, those who have been praying and praying and they haven't seen the answer, they haven't seen the breakthrough, they haven't experienced the victory, Father, I'm asking for your strength right now. I ask for your faith, and Lord, that you would stir up hope in their hearts, Lord. All our good spiritual gifts, Lord, they're given of you. And I thank you, Lord, that you are stirring up not only faith in their heart, that's a gift of God, Lord. You've given it to us. You've given to every man a measure of faith. But Lord, I'm asking that the hope that you've placed in their hearts would be strengthened, would be encouraged, and Lord, that they will trust you and believe you and be able to praise you. Lord, there's no more perfect expression of faith and hope than to praise you for the answer before it comes. And so, Father, we release that. We pray for that in Jesus' name. For the Spirit of the Lord would say, my beloved, be not faint-hearted. Know that I have seen your trials. I have seen the distress. I have seen the work of the enemy. And I have come to deliver you from his snares. I have come to encourage your heart, to increase your faith, that you shall move forward in the things that your God has planned for you, that you shall see me move speedily, that even now I am sending forth my ministering angels to minister to you, and you shall walk in a straight path. You shall not be defeated or discouraged because of your enemies, but you shall see your heart's desires fulfilled as you delight yourself in me. That is my word and promise to you, beloved. Be encouraged and strengthened even this day, says your God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Lord, we receive that. We thank you, Lord, that you are the author of every good thing. You are the author of our faith. You are the finisher of our faith. You who began that good work in us, every good work, Lord, you're faithful to complete it. Praise God. Amen and amen. Well, beloved, it's been a blessing to minister to you. It's going to be different. Trust the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I just want to close and invite you, if you have specific needs, other areas, loved ones, please feel free to write. The announcer will give our contact information. And if you email, I will pray, I will confirm receipt. But if you'd like a personal answer back, whatever God gives, a prophecy or word of God, that you will be blessed if you share your mailing address so I can respond personally to you. I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.